Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Our next guest, former head coach at UCLA and St. John's, former Pac-10 coach of the year. He's now an analyst and broadcaster for Turner Sports. You can follow him on Twitter as well for the latest at SteveLavin64 and his thoughts as we head into night two of the Sweet 16. Our friend Steve Lavin joins us on the show. Coach, good morning. How you doing?
Terrific. Great to be with you.
Always good to be with you as well. And we have to start with Loyola of Chicago because this is right now the story of the tournament. How, in your mind, do they keep doing this, winning on a final shot this far, this deep into the tournament?
Well, it's now a group of players that have had an outstanding season, a championship-level season, and they're well-coached. And once you hit some late shots, you get that aura of invincibility, and you begin to believe as a group that you're destined. And Sister Jean doesn't hurt either with the rosary beads at 98 years old. And I like to say Red Rush, the old legendary broadcaster, used to call the Ramblers back in the day when they won the national championship. He's in the heavens above, smiling down on this run by Loyola. And he's the one, Red Rush, that coined the phrase charity stripe and tickling the twine and a number of other phrases that I've borrowed from the years. But it's really a special story. And Porter Mosier, someone that worked for Rick Majerus at St. Louis, and he's had other coaching stops. But I remember Coach Majerus when I worked with him in studio at ESPN talking about Porter Mosier and really felt that he was one of the bright young coaches in basketball and almost a basketball savant or a genius. And so I think he's played a big part. Obviously, he's the architect of that program. And they play smaller, but they have great ball handlers, highly skilled teams. They stretch the floor because of the threat of the three-point shot. They're patient. They're willing to investigate. They show discipline in terms of turning down average shots to make that one more pass and get a great look. And they either nail you from the three or because of that great spacing and stretching defenses with the threat of the three, they'll get back cuts and they get themselves wide open layups as well. So they're kind of a pick-your-poison team. And they don't mind playing at a tortoise pace. That's what they're used to. It's deliberate. And sometimes that unnerves or discombobulates a team that's used to getting more shots or playing at a faster tempo. So I think another key to their success is imposing their preferred tempo on opponents in a sustained way over the course of the game. And then with timely shooting, they've knocked opponents out. And again, that gets back to confidence, the aura of invincibility, and really believing that they're destined to win the national title.
Steve Lavin joins us here on the DA Show, CBS Sports Radio. Eric Musselman decided down a point with about 30 seconds to go not to foul and to allow Loyola Chicago to drain clock and try to get the defensive stop. You in that spot, would you have played the foul and free throw game and fouled Loyola Chicago?
You know, early in my career, my first stop at UCLA, I was more of a, have a hunch, bet a bunch. I was more the feel of the game, the flow of the game. And then being away for 7 years in television and watching so many games when you're in the studio as well as traveling coast to coast as I was with Brent Musburger calling games on ABC on Saturday and covering the Big Ten during the week. When I returned for my second tour of duty in coaching at St. John's, I did foul in those situations. And some of that also was, looking at the metrics and the math, the data that has come in, both from NBA games as well as college games, that the percentages say to foul in that situation. And then also, I like the idea of getting the ball back with a lead and having confidence that we can get the ball in bounds And if we do get fouled, we're going to make free throws. But again, it's one of those philosophical debates, kind of like, do you pressure the ball in late game situations on the inbounder when someone's trying to go the length of the court with, you know, a couple seconds to go? We saw that situation in the Michigan-Houston game last weekend. Michigan-Houston last weekend in Wichita. So, you know, there's those interesting debates. Do you run a prevent defense in football late in the game when you've got a lead, or do you continue to put heat on the quarterback? I believe in that situation, the prevent defense prevents you from winning. So you like to continue to put ball pressure on the quarterback in football. And again, Coach Musselman, it comes back to his feel at that time. So not to second guess or whatnot, but if I were in that situation, yes, I would foul.
I want to ask you about two defensive matchups coming up tonight in the Sweet 16. The press of West Virginia against the one-seed Villanova, the zone of Syracuse against the two-seed Duke. Which of those two defenses do you think has a better chance to rattle one of the top seeds, West Virginia's press or Syracuse's 2-3?
Well, it's a great question, and both those are kind of fascinating studies when you put them under the magnifying glass. You know, Villanova, because of their guard play, Phil Booth, Jalen Brunson, I think they'll be able to generate some points and opportunities against West Virginia's traps. The goal of West Virginia is to speed up opponents, to turn them over, and then the Mountaineers feast on those turnovers and are able to convert them into points. The quick strike, scoring in bunches, the runs, they look for the haymakers when they go on a 10-0, 12-2, 16-4 blitz, and they put three of those together over the course of the game, and that's how they separate from opponents. Interesting, Villanova, just the opposite. They use their defense, three-quarter court, 1-2-2, zone press, back into their man or back into their zone defense. They use their pressure to slow opponents down. They don't mind it if they cough it up and turn it over, and they'll convert those into buckets because Villanova's putting up big numbers, 80-plus points per game. They attack the three-point line well. But interesting how both teams, Bob Huggins, Jay Wright, use pressure. They use defense to win games. But one is to slow down an opponent, give them less time on the clock in Villanova's case, so the opponents can't attack them as effectively against their zone or man with that short clock they're dealing with. And Bob Huggins wants to speed people up. I think Syracuse probably has the defense that's better suited because their length to beat Duke. But I think at the end of it, Duke will win the game because their offense, they've got enough firepower, enough athleticism, they play with a margin for error. Oh, yeah, and by the way, Mike Krzyzewski's not bad at this stage of the season.
Steve Lavin joins us here on the show. Turner, sports broadcaster, as we look at the Sweet 16 and then last night feeding into the Elite Eight. Final questions about Kentucky. John Calipari and the Wildcats catching some flack today for not waiting until the celebration of K-State ended to shake hands. Now, Coach Cal did shake hands with a coaching staff, but they didn't wait around for the players. What do you think, having been a head coach in that spot, what should Coach Cal and Kentucky have done last night?
Well, it's really interesting. Because I wasn't there and you're only getting snippets in terms of camera angles and highlights and obviously reports that have come from the site, I hesitate to comment because it's not informed. I can't really speak in the intelligent manner that I would be able to if I was actually there to witness it with my own eyes. I will say that John Calipari's coached long enough, and I trust his intuition if he felt waiting around longer could have led to a situation where now the frustration or the emotion of his players lead to things getting chippy, and then a fight breaks out, then he'd been questioned probably for not getting his team off the court sooner. So it's one of those easy, again, to Monday morning quarterback someone. And again, if I was there, I'd be able to give you a more informed or intelligent response. Ideally, you always want to be able to shake hands with the coaches and with the players and the managers and the trainers and the team doctors and all that. But again, it can get crazy and chaotic in a celebration with dog piling and, you know, the kids rightfully celebrating as they should that moment. There's even been discussion about having the handshakes before the game and not having handshakes after, similar to what some of the NBA teams do during championship series to avoid those potential flare-ups. So again, if I was there, I'd give you a better response, but that's my kind of general feel on it.
Final question. You've coached in Sweet 16s and Elite Eights. Which is more nerve-wracking for the kids? Is it a lead-up and a build-up where you're thinking all week about playing in a Sweet 16, or is it an Elite Eight knowing that with a win, we get to go to the Final Four?
Yeah, I think at this stage of the season, the teams that are still playing are enjoying the experience. They can't wait to get back on the floor. You've got a certain momentum, and you want to continue to have that wind at your back and continue to have that pep in the step. I think kids probably are less anxious than the coach. The coach is thinking about so many different elements in game planning, potential adjustments, how to distribute the minutes, rotations, the way in which they're going to guard ball screens or how they're going to handle their coverages on post defense. I also think it's important at this stage that coaches don't overcoach. The haze in the barn is legendary coach Pete Newell used to say, and really, if anything, you want to simplify and execute, not try and add more things. There are subtle adjustments that you make over the flow of a game, and again, that comes from experience, and so often we see coaches that are at this stage of the year who've been there before. Bruce Weber's as an assistant at Purdue for years, and Gene Cady at Southern Illinois when he went to a Sweet 16 at Illinois when he went to the final game in 05, losing to North Carolina. Now here he is again in Elite Eight. Boeheim, Krzyzewski. I mean, these are coaches, Beilein, that have all been here before, and that's not a coincidence. Their vital signs are not going as high as a younger coach who's never been there before, never experienced this. Doesn't mean a young coach his first time at this stage of the year can't win. Eventually, people break through. Calhoun, Gary Williams were coaches for years that were perceived as not being able to win the big one, and then they end up winning a lot of big ones. But I think it does help have an experience, the steady stewardship, and the fact they're able to channel that energy or that emotion in an effective manner in terms of making good judgments with clarity. And I think teams feed off their coaches' stewardship or leadership and their energy. And so as a result, younger kids, 18 to 22, need that leadership at this stage of the season, keep them focused and use that adrenaline in an effective manner.
The hay is in the barn, and Sister Jean is still dancing. It's the 2018 NCAA Tournament. Steve Lavin, follow him on Twitter for the latest around the tournament, at SteveLavin64, Turner Sports broadcaster, coached in many a Sweet 16 as well, five of them to be exact. Coach, it's always good to visit with you, man. Thanks so much. Enjoy the Elite Eight, and then the Final Four. We'll catch up again.
Take care. Enjoyed it. Look forward to it.
You too. Steve Lavin joining us this morning here on the DA Show. We are heard coast to coast every single day here on CBS Sports Radio.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.